Miami's favorite blood spatter analyst has a secret that would shock his colleagues at Miami Metro Police Department. By day, Dexter Morgan analyzes crime scenes with scientific precision. By night, he hunts the hunters, tracking and eliminating murderers who've slipped through the justice system's cracks. But what drives this methodical vigilante isn't simply a twisted moral code. It's what Dexter calls his dark passenger, an internal presence he experiences as a separate entity that whispers guidance and demands satisfaction. This carefully orchestrated double life begins unraveling when Dexter encounters something unprecedented. His dark passenger, his lifelong companion in murder, suddenly abandons him. For the first time since childhood, Dexter finds himself truly alone with his humanity, and it terrifies him. The trouble begins with a bizarre crime scene at the University of Miami, two charred bodies with ceramic bowheads replacing their own. What truly disturbs Dexter isn't the gruesome display, but his unprecedented reaction to it. His dark passenger retreats in terror, leaving him feeling like a piano with a missing key, a clock with a broken gear. As more bodies appear, all burned and beheaded, patterns emerge, connecting them to an ancient deity named Moloch, who demanded human sacrifices burned inside a bronze bull statue. Through research, Dexter discovers symbols at the crime scenes matching Aramaic letters spelling Moloch, Moloch. The historical Moloch was worshipped through human sacrifice, particularly of children, placed into a massive bronze statue with a bull's head and furnace inside. As victims burned, priests played music loud enough to drown out screams, inducing ecstatic trances in worshippers. This exact ritual begins appearing in Dexter's dreams, accompanied by feelings of supernatural joy. Without his dark passenger's guidance, Dexter experiences something entirely new: raw, primal fear. Cold sweats, racing heart, hypervigilance, sensations previously foreign to his carefully controlled existence. He notices a white Toyota Avalon following him through Miami streets, feels watched during investigations, and detects subtle disturbances at Rita's house: displaced garden furniture, partially opened windows, footprints in dewy grass. The stalker is revealed as Dr. Darius Starzak, a religious philosophy professor whose academic credentials mask involvement with human trafficking and an illegal cult. Starzak's expertise in ancient Mesopotamian religions initially seems purely academic until Dexter uncovers financial transactions linking him to missing persons cases across Florida. The situation escalates dramatically when Cody and Aster, Rita's children and Dexter's soon-to-be stepchildren, vanish from the backyard, leaving only scattered toys and an ominous symbol drawn in chalk. One of the novel's most compelling elements is Dexter's evolving relationship with Cody and Aster. Having recognized their budding dark passengers, shadows of trauma from their abusive biological father, he takes on the role of mentor, teaching them the Harry way, the code his adoptive father taught him to channel dark urges while avoiding detection. When Rita catches the children torturing a cat, Dexter seizes the opportunity for what he calls dark discipline. He explains their first mistake was getting caught. We are supposed to be people, not piranhas. But the idea is the same, to look like something you're not. Later, during a supposed scared straight intervention at his forensics lab, he shows them how microscopic evidence reveals everything. Cat hair, carpet fibers, even traces of pizza in Cody's clean shoe. The lesson is clear. Even the smallest mistakes can lead to capture. This mentorship takes on new significance when the children are kidnapped by the Moloch cult. When Dexter rescues them from the island where they're being held for sacrifice, Cody proves he's been paying attention by stabbing a cult leader in the back, calmly telling Dexter, "Told you, I was ready." At the Miami Museum of Science, Dexter uses the piranha exhibit to teach Cody and Aster that truly dangerous creatures shouldn't look ferocious. They should blend in and appear normal. The unremarkable piranhas serve as a perfect metaphor for Dexter's carefully constructed persona, his mask of normality concealing his true nature. Without his dark passenger, Dexter questions his identity. Is he still a monster? Was he ever truly a monster, or merely a vessel for something ancient and evil? These questions force him to confront the possibility that his entire identity was built around an entity that merely used him as a temporary host. When confronting the cult leaders, Dexter experiences genuine rage, not his usual cold, calculated violence, but hot human anger at being treated as a negligible thing. This emotional response reveals a profound connection to his humanity, independent of the dark passenger, suggesting that even without his supernatural companion, something dark remains within him. As the novel reaches its dramatic conclusion, Dexter finds himself at the altar on his wedding day, a moment that should be joyous, but instead fills him with profound emptiness due to his dark passenger's absence. Standing in his perfectly pressed tuxedo, watching Rita and the children approach, he's struck by the vision of his colorless future stretching before him. The prospect of PTA meetings, mortgages, and suburban banality looms like a suffocating cloud. The turning point arrives with breathtaking suddenness. Just as Dexter resigns himself to an existence of empty ritual, young Cody whispers the transformative words, "Your shadow, it's back." The moment is electric. Dexter closes his eyes and experiences the familiar, almost comforting sensation of his passenger's return, marked by that distinctive dark chuckle that has guided him through so many nights of righteous violence. During the ceremony, Dexter's genuine smile spreads across his face, not because of his marriage to Rita, but because he's finally returned to his true nature. He stands there, outwardly playing the role of devoted husband, while inwardly rejoicing in his restoration as Dexter the Avenger, ready to hunt again. The novel ends with a chilling epilogue. Far above the city, IT watches and waits patiently. It has done this countless times before and will do so again eternally. This suggests that while Dexter has temporarily defeated Moloch's cult, the ancient entity itself remains, waiting for new followers to experience the rightness of their pain. This cyclical view of evil contextualizes Dexter's darkness. If his dark passenger is indeed a supernatural entity similar to Moloch, then Dexter represents one instance in an eternal pattern of possession. His mentorship of Cody and Aster continues this cycle, passing the darkness forward. Yet humanity may contain darkness independent of supernatural influence. Dexter's genuine rage when confronting his captors, his protective instinct toward the children, and his triumph over the cult all occur without his dark passenger's guidance. This suggests ancient entities may amplify human darkness rather than create it. They merely, as IT realized at humanity's dawn, can work with this. In the dance between light and shadow, between human and monster, we find Dexter, neither fully one nor the other. His journey reminds us that the most frightening monsters aren't beasts, but those who look exactly like us, hiding behind masks of perfect normality.